hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
So yeah, as we bring Randy into the show, let me remind everybody about Randy's background. Played his college ball at Temple, where he was a three-year starter and a third-team All-American back in 1973. Was an undrafted free agent signed by the Steelers in 1974 and was a member of all four Steelers Super Bowl championship teams of the 1970s. Played in the league from 74 to 81, all in Pittsburgh. Finished his career with 119 receptions for a little over 1,500 yards and six touchdowns, including a touchdown in Super Bowl X versus the Cowboys. And if you're a big Steelers fan like I am, you've seen Randy more recently doing a great job, oh, by the way, on the America's Game video and DVD that the NFL Network put together about the 1978 Steelers season. So, Randy, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's great having you as part of the show.
Great to have you back.
My pleasure.
So, Randy, I wanted to start by, you know, talking about your time playing at Temple. And looking back over, you know, the history of Temple's football team, you guys had an unprecedented level of success during your time there. From 71 to 73, you guys go 27-1. And in your senior year, you guys go 9-1. And your offense scored 30 or more points in 8 of your 9 wins. So unbelievable output by, you know, a great offense that you had there. Talk about what you remember about that 73 team.
Well, it was a real treat for me. And primarily because I got to play with a quarterback that I played in high school with that year. A fellow by the name of Steve Joachim. We went to high school together, graduated high school together. He went on to Penn State, and I went to Temple. And he was there for a couple years, and didn't work out. He ended up transferring to Temple. Had to sit out a year, which was my junior year. And, you know, would have been his junior year, but we got to play again together in 73. So he basically was, a big part of the catalyst to that 73 team. He was quite a talent. Following year, he actually got drafted in a later round by the Colts when they were obviously still, well, when they're obviously back in Baltimore, but he didn't catch on. But, yeah, he was great.
So, Randy, I'm curious. You guys go 9-1 that year, yet no bowl invitation. Were you guys shocked, disappointed? What? How did you guys not get invited to a bowl?
Well, you know, keep in mind that. I mean, that was like another century. Well, it was a different century. I mean, I think I lost count on how many bowl games there are now. But back in '73, I mean, you had the major bowls, and you didn't have the other 24 bowls that are out there. So, you know, that's a primary reason. And we were not league affiliated. So we were independent. So, you know, that as well. Do you guys have a count on the current number of bowls?
I think it's north of 40.
Last year. Yeah. No, I mean, it's startling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And Randy, as I mentioned in your intro, you're an undrafted free agent. You end up signing with the Steelers. How did that come about? How did you end up in Pittsburgh?
Well, I was just talking about this the other day with somebody. I find it really humorous every year during the draft. I mean, the draft now is 7 rounds. In 1973, it's hard to imagine, but the draft was 17 rounds in 2 days. So the part I get the biggest laugh about is, you know, 32 teams, 7 rounds, you know, 224 guys. Number 224 is Mr. Irrelevant. Well, there were only 26 teams in, you know, 74. 17 rounds, that's 442 guys. Now, I'm sure I would have been the next guy. I would have been 443, I'm sure. But if 224 is irrelevant, what's 443? But the night the draft was over, Steelers had a representative in Philadelphia that contacted me, and we actually met the next day and signed the next day. But it also puts in perspective how different the business has evolved to and from. that the guy that they had in Philadelphia that signed me was the Steelers trainer, Ralph Berlin. They literally sent everybody out. Everybody. I mean, I think the equipment guy even went out, the sign guys. So I was actually signed the next day by the trainer, Ralph Berlin.
And to that point, Randy, and now I'm sure everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of folks will remember the 74 class that the Steelers drafted, right? Like, you know, Swan in the first round, Lambert in the second, Stallworth in the fourth, Webster in the fifth. You know, so to your point, you know, 17 rounds worth of guys, right? You're an undrafted free agent that signs the next day, as you point out. But now you've got to make an impression above all of those guys to try to make this team. What did you do to cut that ended up catching Chuck Knoll's eye?
Well, I caused a player strike. 1974 was the first player strike. No freedom, no football. I actually did not get freedom being free agency, but the preseason back then was six games long. And the veterans actually stayed out for about half the preseason. And only a couple guys, I mean, very few of the veterans actually came in, but one of them that came in that was really significantly instrumental in me making a team was Joe Gilliam, the quarterback. And Joe loved to throw the ball. We had Lynn, we had Lynn Swan, John Stallworth. They had drafted a tight end. They had two free agent tight ends, myself and Gary Tinkle, actually. Gary Tinkle, who went to school with Jack Lambert. Yeah, he was a free agent tight end also. And so, you know, what did I do? Basically, I stayed healthy. A couple guys, you know, got dinged up. At one point, I was running every play, every offensive play, because we didn't have any other tight ends. So I stayed healthy. The veterans were out. Joe Gilliam loved to throw the ball, and I loved to catch the ball, and he spread it out. And that was kind of it.
Bob, questions for Randy?
It's great to speak with you again, Randy. And you're one of those guys that was lucky enough to have played for just one head coach your entire career. And that just doesn't happen too often anymore,
right,
at least, Randy. And but that team under Chuck Knoll, I mean, we've asked this to so many different Steeler players, and we've gotten a few different answers. But for the most part, they're all on the same page that he was a very tough guy. Pretty fair guy, but really bare bones toughness is what his call to fame was. What did you see as one of his greatest strengths as a head coach?
Well, that's curious. I would never have initially described him as a tough guy. The number one thing was the second thing that you mentioned about fairness. He was a tremendously fair guy, but as far as toughness, if the ultimate fairness is toughness, then he was amazingly tough. But from a fair standpoint, it didn't really matter. I mean, to a very small degree, whether you were a first round draft pick or you were a free agent, if you delivered, you were going to be the guy. And I mean, this is not, you know, a negative, but if you looked at a contrary organization like the Cowboys. Cowboys, I mean, their guys are like poster guys for each position. They look like a tight end. They look like an offensive tackle. I mean, we had the strangest, motliest crew of guys that you could possibly imagine. But I think from Chuck's background, being a small offensive guard that ran plays in, you know, for the Browns, that he appreciated the fact that it didn't really matter what you look like. It only mattered what you could do. And so, you know, from a fairness standpoint, even as far as I'm concerned, you know, the ultimate fair guy, and not tough, other than extremely demanding, it was his way or the highway, but I don't consider that tough. I consider that, you know, tremendously fair. I mean, there was no hidden agenda with him.
And Randy, I believe I read earlier this week, I think Pro Football Reference had you as about 6'1", about 220 pounds, which for these days, that would be an average size for a wide receiver. And
well, I don't even know if that's average anymore for a wide receiver.
Right? But I'm just wondering, as you watch the game today, did you ever imagine that these guys, tight ends, would be 50 pounds heavier, can run quicker, and how that position has truly evolved over 30 years or so?
Yeah, well, it really has, and it's obviously because of the stuff that they're putting in, you know, McDonald's quarter pounders, obviously. And the guys are bigger, they're faster. Tight end and wide receiver are really drastically bigger. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown's an exception, but you know, a lot of these wide receivers now, they're tight end size. I mean, they're getting big. The only position that really doesn't seem to have changed a whole lot are cornerbacks, but everybody else has gotten significantly bigger over a period of time. But I mean, that's a normal transition. We were bigger than the guys that preceded us, actually. It's just a normal course of events, I suppose. Kind of imagine when you continue to extrapolate out, you know, what size guys are going to be.
And, you know, speaking of Chuck, Randy, you know, and I've watched the NFL series America's Game about the 78, you know, Steelers several times. And again, you did a great job as part of that video. For those who haven't seen it and don't know much about Chuck outside of the 4 Super Bowl wins and the things you just said, to me, he seemed like a guy who was a socially awkward genius, a guy, you know, he wasn't a rah-rah guy. And you and Rocky tell great stories in that video about sort of how awkward Chuck was when he was trying to do a motivational speech. What was that like?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You've got, you know, motivational guys that are successful. You've got guys that are technicians that are successful. I guess the key is that you realize what your strengths are and you play towards that. He was not a motivational guy. His primary motivation was going back to my earlier comments about him being very upfront in regards to what was expected. And the motivation was you produce that or you're history. So, I mean, he really was a technician. He was a teacher. He was very, very focused on the process, not the outcome. You know, the outcome, you know, would come if you focused on the process. And I think that's why he had so much success. And the other part of it, which is kind of interesting to me, some people don't hold Chuck in as high regard as, I mean, he's held in high regard. I think he should be held in even higher regard. One of the reasons that people sometimes doubt his ability is because there was so much talent on the team. People don't realize, you know, that's a blessing and it's a curse. I mean, you've got to control that power. I mean, just, you know, if you just don't jump in a Formula One car and you know, win races in it. So, I mean, his ability to manage the power that was on that team was one of his greatest strengths.
And Randy, Thomas Henderson discounted your value. He thought you were too small to be an effective tight end. You know, I read the quote where, you know, he said, you know, you should have been a backup because, you know, the only way you should have ever played is if someone dies or breaks a leg or something. And then you go out and you score a touchdown in Super Bowl 10, and you have a handful of big catches in Super Bowl 13. Did you ever say anything to Henderson after those games?
Well, it was a different time. I mean, he was an early on public trash-talking person as compared to, I mean, there was lots of conversation going on during a game between people. But, I mean, maybe it's the explosion of social media, I don't know. But public trash-talking is like the thing now. But he was early on a public trash talker. But in reality, I basically went about my business. I mean, that was really kind of the Steeler way. So I didn't have anything to say to him other than what I delivered on the field.
Bob, one more for Randy?
Yeah, sure, Randy. Like a lot of tight ends, you know, you just seemed like the ultimate team guy. And when they did throw you the ball, like in 78, you had almost 500 yards receiving. Was there any – and I know there was a great teams, Randy, and of course you probably wanted to get the ball more. I mean, you did a lot of blocking. But these guys want to pass, you know, catch passes and everything. Was there any frustration at all during your tenure there about you receiving the ball more?
Well, I think everybody was frustrated. I think Swan was frustrated. Stallworth was frustrated. I was frustrated. I don't think Franco and Rocky especially were. I mean, they got a reasonable number of passes out of the backfield. But although the game was beginning to evolve to a passing game, and the Steelers in 78, you know, was much more evolved as a passing team than it was in 74 and 75, they didn't have as many plays. We were still very much a balanced, and the league was a balanced attack of run and pass. So there just wasn't enough plays to spread it out as much as you'd like. But, that was it. You got what you got.
So, Randy, what are you doing now?
Well, since 1990, I have a wealth management practice here in western Pennsylvania in the tri-state area of West Virginia and Ohio and Pennsylvania. And I help people make money.
Good for you. You must be popular.
Yes, I am. Especially nowadays. The market's never going down again, right?
Right. Well, Randy, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to be a part of the show. So many things we'd love to ask you and get your thoughts and insights on. We hope you'll come back on the show again real soon because you're fantastic. And we, like I say, so many things we'd love to get your feedback on.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for asking me. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and yours, Randy. Hopefully we get the opportunity to catch up with you again real soon.
Bye.
Take care.
That is former Steelers tight end Randy Grossman. And, Bob, to Randy's point very early on, to think that, you know, he was able to, you know, shine, if you will, on a team, you know, that had all of those great draft picks in 74, and then it lasted 17 rounds, and all of those players and that sort of thing is a true testament to what a great talent he was.
True, Chris, just to make that team in 74, being undrafted, he fit in like a puzzle piece. You think about it, they needed a guy that would take on a role of catching a few passes here and setting up blocks for those great running backs, and would never get the highlights, but man, he was solid. You just look at his stats, very, very consistent, Chris, 12 and a half yards per catch every year, and again, just love those tight ends from the old time.